Several years ago, a fellow pastor in the Denver area had a daughter. He still has the daughter. Had a daughter who was suffering from some physical problems. They really didn't know what they were. And one day when they took her to the doctor, the doctor looked at her from across the office and immediately knew what her problem was, because he saw that she was not growing properly. And the parents had not really noticed this, but the doctor could see it readily. Her legs were not as long as they should have been for her age and stature. And so the doctor said immediately, there's some sort of blood problem, circulatory problem, some sort of heart problem, possibly. And it was not long after that that this young lady underwent open heart surgery, and the problem was corrected. And I think it was only all 3 or 4 weeks later that she was skiing. And it was a wonderful thing to see when the physical problem was diagnosed, growth could occur. Well, the same thing obtains, does it not, when we look at our own spiritual growth. We ought to be in the Church of Jesus Christ very interested in spiritual growth. And when there is not proper spiritual growth, generally there is a spiritual problem. And generally speaking, that spiritual problem comes down to not adequately getting into the Word of God. And so this morning I have a simple challenge for you. I want to see you grow spiritually in this coming year. And I would like to see my family grow. And I would like to grow in this coming year spiritually. And so the challenge is simply this. Get into the Word of God, and in this coming year, read through the Scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ is also very anxious for your spiritual growth. And I think it's His desire for you to get into His Word and to read through the Scriptures. What does He say in John 17, verse 17? Sanctify them in truth. Thy Word is truth. Jesus here is praying for His disciples. He is in prayer. And in verse 9, He says, I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine. He says, Lord, I'm praying for these disciples You've given Me. But He's also praying for you who sit here this morning. Look at verse 20. He says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, these disciples who are with Me now. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in Me through their word. Why are you here this morning? Well, I'll tell you one reason you're here this morning. You're here this morning because of the words spoken by those disciples of old. And those words, written in the Scriptures, have been delivered to us. And there's not a one of us who are here this morning and who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who did not come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, except through those words of the disciples given to us in Scripture in some way or another. And so Jesus, way back then, was praying for you, and He was praying for me. And Christ was praying for your sanctification, for your growth. Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. Christ praying for you. Now, I think this is kind of tremendous. A couple of things come to us as we think about Christ praying for you and me. Keep your finger there in John 17. And turn back in your Bibles, if you would, to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And verse 16, the Apostle James says in James 5:16, he says, "Therefore confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." How many times have we quoted that verse in the King James? "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplisheth much." Well, let me tell you something. The righteous man we're talking about here is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is praying for you. And His prayer will accomplish much on your behalf. He is praying for your sanctification. Let's note something else here. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians 4:3. We'll get back to John 17, 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." Jesus is praying for your sanctification. This is the will of God for you, your sanctification. Is Jesus praying in accordance with the will of God? You bet He is. And what is the promise given to us concerning prayer in the will of God? The promise given to us when we pray in the will of God is very clear. If we pray in the will of God, the Apostle John says, the Father will hear us, and He will not only hear us, He will give to us that for which we ask. Jesus is praying in the will of God, in the will of the Father. And folks, the Father is going to give to Jesus that for which He asks. And again, what is Jesus asking for? Well, John 17, 17 is pretty clear, isn't it? "Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth." I don't know how this strikes you, but it gives me some hope. It really does. Because if Jesus Christ, the righteous one, is praying for me in accordance with the will of God, then something is going to happen in my life. It is bound to. And if Jesus Christ, the righteous one, is praying for you in accordance with the will of God, something is going to happen in your life. And that something is sanctification. What is sanctification? Well, we can look at two sides to this subject of sanctification. On one side, sanctification involves the setting aside of things or people for a holy use. In the Old Testament, for example, the tabernacle and all of the instruments and the furnishings in the tabernacle were sanctified. They were set aside for a holy purpose in the worship of God. And the people were set aside also. Often God said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves. Clean yourselves up. Put on clean garments and come to the worship of the Lord. Sanctify yourselves. Be set aside for the worship and holy use of God." That's one side of sanctification. Another side of sanctification, as you know, involves growth. It involves the process of cleansing and the process of renewal. The Shorter Catechism puts it this way. What is sanctification? Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. More and more sin is removed, and more righteous living takes its place. That's the process of sanctification. It's the process of Christian growth. And Jesus is praying for this. Now, I want to tell you something. This sanctification for which Jesus is praying is absolutely necessary. This sanctification for which Jesus is praying is not just something that we can take or leave as we desire. This sanctification for which Jesus is praying is absolutely necessary in your life and in my life. I want to look at a couple of scriptures to show you this. First of all, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Beginning with verse 14. Peter says this: "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" Sanctification, a change of life, a process towards a greater degree of holiness, is absolutely necessary. Why? God commands it. God says to you, be holy. Be holy, for I am holy, he says. Now, when God says this to you, he's not giving you a suggestion. As it has been said, Moses didn't come down from Mount Sinai with the 10 suggestions, did he? No, he came down with the 10 commandments. And God is giving here a commandment. Be holy. And so it's absolutely necessary. It's a must. We can't get around it. Now, this is also absolutely necessary because of what the apostle says in Hebrews. In Hebrews 12, just turn back in your Bible a few pages to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Look at what this says. The apostle says, "Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord." Do you know what the writer to the Hebrews is telling us there about sanctification? He is saying very plainly that without the process of sanctification taking place in your life and in my life, we will not see the Lord. There are a lot of people today who are kidding themselves. There are a lot of people today who are, yes, they're going to church week by week, and they say, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus." And they never change. Year after year, they're the same people. I remember a lady in a congregation that we served who concerned me a great deal, because it seemed that year after year after year, it was the same. Never changed. The old attitudes were always the same. I remember this because she was very angry at me when her son wanted to get married. And I didn't approve of the marriage. I'll confess that. She knew that. I didn't approve of the arrangement. because it involved the marriage of a believer and an unbeliever, and Scripture is very plain with regards to that sort of an arrangement. It's not to be. And then later she was very angry at me when the marriage did not work out and a divorce came about. You see, the point is that the process of growth, which Scripture speaks of as sanctification, is an absolute necessity in the lives of every individual who names the name of Christ. Without sanctification, we do not have hope of seeing the Lord. This process of sanctification, in other words, is a proof of the fact that we really do know Jesus when there is growth. And of course, you know as well as I do that growth indicates life. Where there is no growth, there is no life. And God says He puts within us a seed, an imperishable seed. I don't know about you, but if God says He puts an imperishable seed in me or in you, He is saying to you and He's saying to me, that seed's not going to die. It's not going to wither away. It's going to grow. And that's the whole point, you see. Growth is bound to occur in the life which God regenerates. And so Jesus prays for this sanctification. Sanctify them, He says. How? How is this sanctification to come about? Well, again, John 17:17 is pretty clear. Sanctify them in truth. Sanctify them by the truth. And New International Version says, in the truth, with the truth. In other words, your life and my life must be established by true precepts, true standards, true thoughts. All false presuppositions, all false standards, all false thoughts must be removed from our lives. And of course, we're talking about absolutes here. Let's get that straight right away. Absolute truth. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. He is absolute truth. And so we're talking about absolute moral standards. We're talking about absolutes. You know, it's very interesting. Sue Wilkie gave me this to look at. It's a little pamphlet called The Way to Happiness. It's put out by Concerned Businessmen's Association of America. And one of the desires is to place this in public schools because it's said to be a non-religious moral code. Here's what it has to say about truth. What is true for you. No one has any right to force data on you and command you to believe it or else. If it is not true for you, it isn't true. It's interesting how truth is defined in the footnote. Truth is that which agrees with the facts and observations. Unavoidable fact. Seems to be a slight contradiction here. There's bound to be a slight contradiction when we consider truth as relative. This is not a moral code. This is not the pathway to happiness. This is the pathway to disaster. Truth is not relative. It is given to us by God, and it is absolute. Let's not be deceived, folks. because we are going to be given deviant definitions of truth in every sphere of life we contact outside of Scripture. Thy word is truth, Jesus says. That's how Jesus defines the truth. The Bible. The Scriptures of the Old and the New Testaments. And those Scriptures alone. And Moses condemned long ago any additions to those Scriptures. John, in the book of Revelation, condemns any additions to those Scriptures. And those who follow so-called prophets of the present day are going to be deceived. How often I've heard, oh, you need to read the Book of Mormon. No, not truth. The New Age movement today is filled with Eastern mysticism based upon the writings from Near Eastern religions. Not truth. Not truth. Thy word is truth, Jesus says. The word of God is truth. And folks, here's what Jesus says, very simply. Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. In other words, this book will bring you the spiritual growth in the coming year that you need. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying that to you and he's saying that to me. And the Apostle Paul confirms this for us. Look, if you would, at Acts chapter 20. Tremendous text in Acts chapter 20. Verse 32. The Apostle Paul here is talking to the elders of the church at Ephesus. And in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, he says, "Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all who are sanctified." Paul says, I commend you to the word of the grace of God, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance which is received by all those who are sanctified. Oh, the word of God is able to build you up. The word of God is able to give you growth. The word of God is living and active and more powerful than any two-edged sword. The word of God is the power of God unto salvation. And it has the power to bring you growth. And when Jesus says, sanctify them in the truth, thy word is truth, he's praying, folks, he's praying that you will get into the Bible and that I will get into the Bible and that we will read the Bible and that we will study the Bible and that we will grow thereby. And that's why I come to this challenge today. On the very first day of the year, is the prayer of Jesus going to be fulfilled in your life? May it be so this year for each of you and for me. Read the Bible and read it through this year. You know, we've taken upon ourselves a statement of purpose. And part of that statement of purpose involves exhorting one another to love and good deeds. What better thing could we do this year as individuals and as a congregation than to read through the Bible and to gently prod one another during the course of the year to find out where we are. Feel free to ask me. You may embarrass me a couple of times, maybe more. Feel free to ask me where I am in the reading program. Pray for one another in this regard. This morning, we received as a bulletin insert a guide to read through the Bible. Now, this is one of the things you can use, this little guide. And each day, you can check off the day when you've read the assigned scriptures. And by the time you come to the end of the year, you will have read through the Bible. When I've done this in the past, I've taken an envelope and made a little pocket in the front of my Bible, like this one here. So I could put this guide in the front of my Bible and always have it there. And it would be a reminder for me to read. On other occasions, I've taken the number of pages in the Bible. This particular version of the Bible has 1,730 pages. Now, if you divide that number by 365, you come out with approximately 5 pages a day. And so if you read 5 or 6 pages a day, by the end of the year, you will be through the Bible. It's as simple as that. You might take a little calendar, if you do it that way, and tape it in the front of your Bible. And each day, check off the day when you've read 5 or 6 pages. And again, at the end of the year, you will have read through the Bible. And you know what the result will be? Growth. You will be able to look back over the course of the year and see the many things which you have learned from the Scriptures. And you will also be able to look back to see how you've grown in the Lord. You young people especially, take up the challenge. Read through the Bible in this coming year. It'll make all the difference in the world. And you know what else? The prayer of Jesus will be in the process of being fulfilled in your life. Let's pray together now. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is the instrument given to us to bring growth, spiritual growth to each of us and to us as a congregation. Bless every individual here, Father, and grant that together we may take the challenge you've given us to read through the Scriptures in their entirety in this coming year. And as we do so, Father, sanctify us in that truth. Fulfill the prayer of Jesus in our lives, we ask. Hear us. In His name we pray. Amen.